I want to read some from the book of St. Luke, chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, and delivering you up to the synagogue and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall to the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are to come, are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with serving and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape though all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. And you may be seated. You know, I commented on this quite a bit, taking it from not the 21st chapter here. This is the same thing that's recorded over in Matthew 24. But I took it from 24 as to the sign of the Son of Man. And of course, the sign of the Son of Man is the same thing as the coming of the Son of Man. In Luke, it gives it, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Over in Matthew, it gives it as to the sign of the Son of Man. It is one and the same thing. But we took it from Matthew's and we went over into the book of Revelation and we discussed it. Before that, we took it and we went back to the book of Daniel and we brought out concerning the desolation as to what Jesus means when he uses the terms here. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And we brought out the abomination of desolation. And you have it here on tape as to what it is, when it will come to pass, as to who will be here and who will not be here. And in this, we brought out, we preached the message from Daniel on the coming of the Messiah, the cutting off of the Messiah, and who he was. And then we confirmed it as to him being the Messiah, where the woman was at the well. And the woman said, I know when Messiah cometh, he shall tell us all things. And Jesus confessed, saying, I am he. He confessed that he was the Messiah. So then, Daniel speaking of it, and then the confirmation of it as to Jesus' own words, and then as to the works that he did, saying, believe me for the work's sake. Proving that he was very Messiah, the prophet like unto Moses. And we brought these things out, and we brought out many things concerning the coming of the end of the world. We brought out the Kala Parnama as to the ashes of the red heifer. And we preached concerning this as to the coming of the Lord and tied it in with the discovering of the tabernacle, the furniture, and the furniture for the tabernacle and the discovering of Moses' body. We brought this out. Now, many of these things that we've talked to you about, we've tried to bring out, point out to you, so that you would be able to understand better the things that Christ is doing and the hour in which you're living. Because we're trying to indoctrinate you with the understanding of righteousness. And we want you to understand these things. He says here, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now you know what the desolation is. It was just yesterday that I heard someone make the statement, maybe the papers carried it, the news medias, that the Ayatollah made the statement that he was going to take Iraq and move right into Israel. You know what I told you? I said, watch the thing concerning Syria, the Ayatollah, and that thing concerning Khomeini. I said, watch that thing. I said, right in there now. I said, that's where the thing is working for the Antichrist. And we spoke of it. Remember, the river Euphrates has to be dried up to make way for the kings of the east to come in there, that great army that's going to be in there in such a way till it's going to be unreal as to the description that the Bible gives of it. All right. Now, it said about this time, all of a sudden it says, you'll see Jerusalem compassed with the armies, know that the desolation is nigh. And then all of a sudden it said, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. He said, the earth distress. See, and upon the earth distress. Have you ever known of a time, ever read in history, ever heard of a time when the nation is in more distress than it is now? See, it says here, and upon the earth, earth distress of nations. The distress is really the earth. It's upon the earth, but it is created by the nations. It is the nations that is causing the distress. Said, and there will be perplexity. People are so bewildered and perplexed. The sea and the waves roaring. Said, men's heart failing them for fear. Look at the heart attacks we're having. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Not too long ago, Brother Walden was telling me that he had a number of heart attacks and said the last one almost took him out. My, it hits you. It hits me. It hits the ministry. It hits everybody. People are having heart attacks everywhere. Said young men's hearts would fail them for fear of looking after those things that's to come upon the earth. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So now when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, that's my cue right there. When I see those things coming to pass, I'm going to lift up my head because I know my redemption's going to draw nigh. Well, yes and no. That is to say, some of these things, yes, some of these things, no. Because when Jesus is speaking here, he is speaking to the Jewish people, and they are the ones that's waiting for redemption. I'm not waiting for redemption. Somebody say hallelujah. I said, I'm not waiting for redemption. Glory to God, like the song says, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed from death, and I've been redeemed from the things of this world, and I passed from death unto life, and I'm not waiting for redemption. The Bible does speak of the bodily change. It relates to the Jew, which he says, the flesh profiteth nothing. It's dead. It's buried. It's gone. And when the Jews come along, he's going to pull it out of the ground. And as for me, I passed from death unto life. I've moved into the heavenlies. And today I'm sitting in the heavenly places. And I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of my God. And I'm there in the heavens with him, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring, all the restoration of all things, as to the millennium, as to bringing the body out of the ground. So then I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. That's a wonderful thought to know that what Jesus is saying, he is saying here principally to the Jews. Though he said, what I say to one, I say to all, because it affects us. Has to do with the body. Has to do with the legalistic side of it. Has to do with what I referred to the other night as the adoption. Remember, your bodily change hasn't come yet. Because it doesn't come until the teachings of Thessalonians is made manifest. See, and then you're catching away, and then you're coming back in Revelation 19 on the white horses as to the redemption that has to do with the body, or that is to manifest that which God has received to be manifested with the Jew as the Jew being redeemed, and the redemption shall come. So then the redemption, when we say the redemption, God is speaking to the Jewish people. And he's telling these Jews, they're sitting there and they said, when do we see this? When will this come? When will this come to pass? And he tells them that all of this will start happening. And he said at this time, said, look up. For thy redemption draweth nigh. So then we see it as to the change of Thessalonians. But we also see it as to the Jews, where they will be looking for the Messiah to come and redeem them. Because he's never come and redeemed them. They've never yet seen the Messiah. They've never yet received the Messiah. But he's coming. He promised he would come. And he's coming. And when he comes back, as the Bible speaks here, of the nail prints. And when he appears in the heavens, he's going to appear to the Jews. Someone would say, Brother Pike, he's coming back to you and I. He is coming back to the Jews. See, we are going up to meet him. You understand what I'm saying? We're going up to meet him. And then in Revelation 19, he along with us is returning to bring the first resurrection and to bring the Jews into view. But at the translation of the church, we're going up to meet him. So then when he returns, he's really returning to the Jews. Even though the Bible said every eye shall see him, and they that crucified him shall narrowly look upon him. Yet he's coming back to the Jews. He's returning to the Jews. Christ has already come to me. I am a true Jew. I am a spiritual Jew. Like I said the other day, I'm not going to the Holy Land to see the Jews. I'm going over to the Holy Land so the people can see the Jew. See, I'm the Jew. I'm going over there to the Holy Land. That land over there, I'm going over there so that they can see a true Jew if they can get their eyes open. For the Bible said, he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, so they couldn't be Jews.
And said, he that is a Jew, a true Jew, is he that is a Jew inwardly. So then Christ, who has returned and come to me, he hath redeemed me, and my inner man, as Paul called it, has been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and I'm in the kingdom of God with him. I, the true Jew, I've been caught up to be with him. And so then my inner man has moved out of this little tabernacle of clay that you see as a lying vanity that's already passed away. It passed away with Calvary. And Peter said, ye are the peoples upon whom the ends of the world have come. And so the end of the world came, and the world passed away. And so then I passed away, because I passed away with the world. Because I came as to the natural of the dust, and of the dust I was, and to the dust I went. And they took him down, and they laid him in the dust. And so then now the world, Paul said, is dead to me by the body of the Lord Jesus, and I'm dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus. And I was buried with him in baptism, and the first man Adam was laid away. And today it's not that man living, but it is the second man Adam living, even the second man, the Lord from glory, the quickening spirit. And today it's not me living as to the lying vanity that you see, but it is Christ living. And I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. So then that means I pass from death unto life. I'm no longer a living soul. I am now a quickening spirit. See, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And I died, and the judgment came. See, and the judgment was that he was delivered for my offenses, and the judgment came. And then he was raised again for my justification, that as he is, so am I in he, that I might be free from sin. And he came, as I preached the sermon not too long ago, he came to make an end of sin. And of course, this is the thing that I've been trying to substantiate in your mind and get you to really receive, because I'm telling you folks, from my heart, you're not going to be able to make the translation or be the bride of Christ to go in the change until you come to this knowledge and to this understanding. You would say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? Paul said, let us go on to perfection. So someone said, well, praise God, I don't chew and I don't dip anymore. I don't chew the cud and I don't suck on a weed anymore, Brother Pike. I'm getting closer all the time. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Just because you quit dancing with another man's wife, that don't mean nothing. See, you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? The Bible said it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh that saves you, but it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. Even as it was Noah who was saved by the water, the like figure 1-2, the Bible teaches that baptism doth also now save us. When you repent of your sins, when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you take on a clean conscience before God, and you've done the thing that pleased God. If you haven't done that, you're not right with God. No matter if you're a believer, it doesn't make any difference. See, Peter said, repent every one of you. That's me, that's you, that's every one of us. And he said, and when you do this, then you'll receive the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to go around trying to give up smoking and chewing and cursing and drinking. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're his. And the Bible said, if you have not his spirit, then you're none of his. You might be a believer, but the devil believes too. That doesn't mean a thing. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you belong to him. And the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, is on the inside of you. And you'll find out that you don't want to smoke, and you don't want to curse, and you don't want to drink. And you'll find out that just as the apple nature of the apple tree brings forth apples instead of plums, that you'll bring forth the fruits of the Spirit instead of the evil and bitterness of the world. You might join a church. You might become a believer. You might get in the rain and have the Shekinah come down upon you as it was upon Adam and Eve, but that don't mean you've got eternal life. You may be religious enough to shout, preach, sing, jump, run, holler, pray for the sick, or get prayed for. And you might even get healed, because the goodness of God leads to repentance, and the rain is on the just and on the unjust. That don't mean a thing. You might even speak in tongues. That doesn't mean you got the Holy Ghost. So then, that means that we may do all of those things and still not have God. We still might not be dead to the world, and we may reflect Christ. We may reflect the things of God and get out here and be just as gullible with the old passions of lust eating us up in our minds and in our thoughts and the gullible desire of the world and doing the things of the world and the worldly entertainment. We may have just as a gullible desire, just as big as ever before when we leave, once we get out from under the Shekinah. See, so if you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, that means that you are not born again. Somebody said, bless God, I know three ways to do it. Well, that's fine. You know, you can peddle that wherever you want to peddle it. But I'm talking about God and the gospel. So then, when you get God's Spirit, you belong to Him. There's but one Spirit. If you don't have God's Spirit, then you don't belong to Him. See, you're none of mine. So then, you've got to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, how do you get the Holy Ghost? I said the other day, the Bible said that God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. Somebody said, well, I've been in this for 3 years and haven't received it. That's because you haven't obeyed Him. You might be a believer. You might belong to a church. You might be religious. You might jump up and down. That don't mean nothing. It's when you walk holy and you talk holy and your conversation is in heaven and you're godly in your whereabouts. You don't joke. You don't laugh. You don't go on with a bunch of foolishness. You're not trying to be spectacular in the eyes of people by lifting yourself up. You're not a novice. You know, you got the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. You're doing the things that please God. See, He gave the Holy Ghost to you because you was a candidate for it. So then I'm baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sin. Once I'm baptized for the remission of sin, then I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, what do I have? I have eternal life. See, when John received the Holy Ghost, as in the mother's womb, and the mother there being filled with the Spirit of God, that didn't mean they had the gift of eternal life. The Holy Ghost had been with them all down through the years. But they had never received the gift of eternal life because Jesus had never yet been crucified to take away sin so that they could have the gift of eternal life. See, you cannot have the Holy Ghost if there is any sin. This is what I'm trying to get over to you for the translation. Somebody said, well, bless God, I walk in line, Brother Pike, and I don't do this. I keep myself, praise God, I ain't sinning. That's great if you understand what you're saying, but that could be very detrimental to you. Other people go around, you know, they're in a nervous frenzy, and they say, you say, boy, I believe God's gonna keep me. I just believe I'm gonna make it. They say, beware if you think you stand. Beware, you're gonna fall. That's when you're gonna fall. So, you know, they get the people to where they never can believe that they got anything or they're gonna make it through, because if they ever get like that, they're gonna fall. You know, if they don't get like that, they've already failed. So this is the condition of the church world today. What's wrong with them? Is that they don't understand the Word of God. And they're not preaching the Word of God. They're preaching heresy. They're preaching ideas. They're preaching what somebody else preached. Or they took what somebody said before them. Or they're preaching old wives' fables. Or they're doing things that they think. And they say, God spoke to me. And a lot of times God ain't in 100,000 miles of them. Like I said, when somebody come down here on the campground and put his finger up and said, thus saith the Lord, God told me to tell you, Brother Pike. I said, God ain't spoke to you nothing. And the man went off and he was in a terrible calamity, got in a terrible fix, and was in a dying condition and reverted back to what he'd come out of and left, the name of the Lord Jesus. So see, a lot of times God ain't spoke at all to them people. They get some idea in their mind, or they feel something, and they say, that was God. And God, He suffers it. He goes along with them because they're little bitty babies, they're little bitty children. He doesn't want to hurt them. So He goes along with them and they get real brave and bold and say, God spoke to me. God told me. But folks, the best thing in the world to do is, the Bible said, try the spirits. And the Bible said, prove all things. And find out if it is God, prove it. If you said something concerning something, then you watch to see if it comes to pass. If it didn't come to pass, don't go say, well, you know, just one of the mistakes. God get it on the next rebound. Because God don't do that. If you have the spirit of error, then there's something wrong with you. Because the Bible said God hath not given us the spirit of error. So then we need to prove it. We need to find out. We need to listen. We need to understand what is being said to us and who is saying it to us. And then when we prove it, we can do something for God. So a lot of people get into trouble like that. They get into bad situations like that. So you need the Holy Ghost. You need the voice of God. You need to be a Christian. You've got to learn one thing, is that you are not the one that's doing it. You are not the one that's doing it. You have never sought God at any time. Never. The Bible said, you've not sought me, but I've sought you. So somebody said, but I know I seek God. I know that the Holy Spirit on the inside quickens your body and draws it to Christ. For the Bible said, no man can come to God except the Son draw him. And all that you have is a drawing. You have a wooing that pulls you to it. And when it comes to your asking and God answering you, the Bible said there's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that maketh intercessions with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. And it comes to pass that God hears you before you ever call. That is, at Calvary He heard you through Jesus. And the Bible said God looked down and saw the prisoners and them that was appointed unto death. And at a certain time He succored them and He loosed them from death that was appointed unto death. At Calvary God did that. And then the Bible said God sent Jesus to make an end of sin. I said this the other day and I want to bring it back to your thoughts. Wouldn't it be something if Brother Pike got up into the glory world, as we would say according to your terminology. And all of a sudden I stood before God. And I got there before God and I said, hallelujah. I'm not mocking, I'm just trying to get over a point. Hallelujah. I say, glory to God. I had a close call from one revival to another. I didn't quite see, and I just about. Thank God I made it. Don't you know I'd be a repulsive bit of clay in the sight of God and He'd spew me out of His mouth? I'd be like a canker worm. To think a little mortal would stand there in His presence and talk about what He'd done and how He'd made it. You know, all I can do is go before God, whether trembling or shaking, ever high it will be. I believe we'll be able to do it boldly before the throne of grace. But when we go before God, we say, hallelujah! Glory to God. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I made it because of Calvary. And the Bible said they overcame Him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Testifying to what the Lord Jesus done. Saying, grace, grace, grace. And the capstone will come crying, grace, grace, grace. Hallelujah. Say, how did you make it in, son? Say, well, the song says, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. So then I say, my sins are gone. My sins have been taken away. He was delivered from my offenses or my sins. And then He was raised again for my justification as to prove that I have power over death. I am now alive because of Him. And I can say to the Heavenly Father, I can say, my sins are gone. Now, how do you know they're gone, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said that God sent Jesus to make an end of sin. Folks, this is where the church world is an error. I mean the entire church world is an error. God sent Jesus to make an end of sin, and there is no more sin for God's people. There is no more sin. Somebody said, I'll keep myself and that way I won't sin. It's true you will keep yourself. As I said, Christ on the inside keeping you. The Bible does say He keepeth Himself and the evil one toucheth Him not. But that means that Christ on the inside keeps him, in that the Bible speaks of the inner man having sealed the inner man until the day of the change, all the redemption of the body. So then that means that the Lord has sealed us. And it is true that the devil never touches us at any time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And you know what? The devil never did touch us at any time. And the Bible said, and these things were given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and then brought to light at Calvary. That is, it was a predestination with God. It was a predestinated work. And God took a bodily image over here and made it sin because you and I had got tripped up by the powers of Lucifer through the first man Adam. And God smote it and God satisfied His wrath. And then God planted it in the ground and said, away with it, no more. And this is why that God would not accept the blood of goats and bulls and heifers or whatever. Because he said, this always brings sin back to my remembrance. Every time you go to offer this thing up, Paul says, it brings sin back to the remembrance of God. And it brings the anger of God. Because when sin comes back, it brings the anger. See, Paul said concerning the Word of God and concerning the law of God, he said before there can be redemption, before there can be salvation, said you've got to eliminate the law. You've got to get the law out. Somebody said, boy, you've got to keep them Ten Commandments, Brother Pye. And so then, Paul said if you don't get rid of the law, there is no salvation. Because salvation and eternal life comes by grace. And as long as the law here, he said the law worketh wrath. Because it brings back to God's mind sin. It reminds God that we're not able to perform those things and to keep those things. But Jesus coming, moving those things out of the way, taking the ordinances of the world out of the way, folding them up and laying them away, has come forth as that new creature in Christ who I am. So, when we think about this, where there's no law, there's no wrath. The law worketh wrath. So then God done away with it. And Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by the Spirit of God, by grace, by faith, without the deeds of the law. So it's so beautiful to be a Christian. It's so beautiful to understand. He that has entered into the rest of God has ceased from his own work. As long as you're trying to quit chewing on the cud and sucking on the weed and dancing with another man's wife, as we say, or frolicking over at Six Flags, while you're trying to do all of those things, you're still struggling within your own self. You're still struggling within in your own works. But when you realize that God has done away with sin, there is no sin to a Christian. There never was sin to a Christian. There never will be sin to a Christian. So then it's all gone. It's all been gone. He gave me this eternal life before I was ever born into the world. I couldn't sin because I'd never come in the world to sin when he gave it to me. And he gave it to me in Christ to keep me from sin, so that I could be his spotless wife. Who would want a woman? You go out here and get a woman, she's going to be your wife, she's going to be your bride, and you make a fuss over and you say, this is my bride, this is my bride. She's only defiled herself with seven men. Who wants anything like that? Nobody in their right mind don't want nothing like that. Same way with a woman, she don't want a man like that. But see, he's coming back after a bride without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. He's coming after a virgin bride that has never known any wrong. She was created for him. Like John said, looking and seeing the beautiful city come down out of heaven, said as a bride adorned for her husband. Who hath ever seen that city before? Or where was that city ever made before? Oh, what sin was there ever in that city? Lively stones, Paul said, built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone thereof, and the apostles, the leaders of this gospel being the foundation of that city. The walls of jasper, how beautiful. Gates of pearl. So I said that to say this. The Lord came to make an end of sin. Now we're getting right down toward the end of time. The army's about ready to go in. They're blowing up all around Rome over there. Remember the desolation in 1 hour? Them bombs that Mr. Reagan throwed over there just across the water a little ways there from Rome. One of the stray missiles got over there or something. I heard about some in the paper. Almost caused a calamity. Anyway, now the Ayatollah says, we're going in. We're going in. Oh, somebody says, bless God, Brother Pike, they'll never overthrow Jerusalem. I beg your pardon. It's for sure that you're not a Bible scholar. They'll walk right into Jerusalem and they'll take Jerusalem over and they'll drive that hostile bunch of people out that don't love the Lord and won't listen to God and won't listen to nothing else. They'll drive them slap back out of there and they'll go in there and they'll take that city and they'll set up their way of life. And like it was when I went over there and prophesied down the streets of Dolorosa there when the Lord spoke to me crying out, the time is fulfilled. And when I stood from the veranda there of the Palace Motel looking out over the Mosque of Omar and over the walls of the Holy City, when the Lord said to me, Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll lay her even with the ground. So They're looking at this, they'll go right in there. And when those people are driven out and they humble themselves and they lose their hostility and they get out there and God begins to tutor them and begin to tell them and begin to break them down and make them sorry of their wrong, then they'll come back a great and a mighty people in God, and then they'll plow the Gentiles under. They'll come against Antichrist because they will have their leader. They'll have the Son of God leading them. They'll find their head out there. They'll recover from that thing where the head was severed. And they'll come back and they'll pick that up, and there won't be a nation in the world that can match wits with them. Nowhere the blood will run up to the horse's bridle. Antichrist cannot handle that army. And we, Revelation 19, we'll be right there with them because that's where their head is. Right there in the valley of Armageddon, right there in that great thing that's called the bread basket of the world, or the place where so many wars have been fought. Solomon, as I've said in the past, right on the mount there, you can see the place where he kept his horses fresh, bringing them from a great distance and put them there in those corrals or in those places. He had them fresh right on the edge of that mountain there. And when they'd cry war, he'd just go right down there with freshest horses right into the valley. Anyway, this is what I'm saying. So we've come to the end of the world. Now, my world ended back yonder. And I've no longer been in the world. And the Bible said, you're not of the world. For I've chosen you out of the world. And I have been in the heavenly places with God. And today I'm in the heavenly places. And I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. It come through the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been preached and men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. And down there they were having a great revival down there with Philip. They received the name of Jesus and the kingdom of God. For they preached two things there. And that was baptism in the name of Jesus as an entrance into the kingdom of God. For the law and the prophets were until the kingdom. And Jesus said, I'm the door to that kingdom. So then when the door was open, Peter opened the door to the Gentiles and to the Jews. And now, since the door has been opened, thousands and millions of people have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And in doing this, you pass from death into life, and you're no longer in the flesh, but in the spirit. You're no longer in the flesh. Therefore, you're no longer in the world. He's chosen you out of the world. And he's took you out of the flesh. And if you are in the flesh, then the Bible said you cannot please God. So then we're out of the flesh. We are dead to sin. See, if I'm out of the flesh, how can I then sin? The Bible speaks of the sinful flesh, corruptible flesh. If I am out of the flesh, how can I sin? What is this, Brother Pike? What are you talking about? The Bible said, what is this that our father Abraham has found? What is this that he hath found as pertaining to the faith or pertaining to sin and these kind of things? What is it that he has found? He's found a great thing. What does the writer say about it? It said, blessed is the man, speaking of the woman too, blessed is the man, the woman comes from the man, so they're just one to God, the man. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Do we have anybody like that this morning? Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, but imputeth his faith for righteousness. That's what Abraham found. The father of the faithful. The father of faith. His faith was so great and offered up his son. That this is what God did. So then what did he do? God sent Jesus to make an end of sin. So then where are my sins? They're gone. I ask the question again. If my sins are gone, if truthfully my sins are gone and your sins are gone, then why do we go around all the time laden with our problems of sin? And always pleading with God to take away our sins. Are you listening to me? Somebody says, well, bless God, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. The world's full of unbelievers. I'm just talking about the Word of God. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's Word. You speak what you want to. All right, so then what did God say? He said to the minister, preach the Word. Not your idea, your feelings, or what you heard, or what you thought, or I've been in this 10 years and I ain't going to change. I had to change a whole lot of things when I came to the Word, folks. I mean a whole lot of things. My entire life had to change. So then, why do we do that? I admit that sometimes when we pray, we'll say, Father, forgive us our sins. And the Bible said if we pray and ask God to forgive us our sins, He's just to forgive us our sins. Somebody said, now there you are right there, Brother Pike. You need to pray every day, God, forgive us our sins. How do you know He was talking about that? How is it that you think that He's talking about that? Could He not have been saying, Father, forgive us our sins, and then sins are forgiven, and that's all? Who said anything about a return on that? You see how easily we misunderstand the Holy Scriptures? I cannot ask God to forgive me of something that isn't there. Can I? I go to Brother Taylor and I say, Brother Taylor, get this log off of me. Get this log off of me. And Brother Taylor, he's looking everywhere. And he says, well, where's it at, Brother Pike? I said, well, I know there's a log up there. Oh, he said that was down the road back over. You know, who met you? Brother Vince met you. He took that log off back there. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. No, Brother Vince took the log off. I said, well, the log's back up there. Brother Taylor said, well, that couldn't be. I said, why can't that be, Brother Taylor? He said, well, if the man took it off, how can it be up there? If it's up there, he never did take it off. Come on, folks. That's what's wrong with some of you. It never has been taken off. That's what it is. You never did meet him. See, the Bible said he that is born of God, he don't sin. Not because he don't want to sin or because he started some kind of ritualistic called Pentecost. That's not what it's all about. He can't sin because there ain't no sin there. It doesn't have anything to do with him. It never did have anything to do with him. This was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And what God wanted me to be, He made the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as He made the Lord sin and put Him in a grave to end all of that, so that He make me the righteousness of God in Christ. That is, He resurrected the Lord Jesus and made that the wholesome desire of God and the righteousness of God, that God may never see sin anymore in my life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That means that we shouldn't spend our time letting the devil run around after us and us just walking the old Indian death march like a dog after his tail. We shouldn't be doing that. We are sons and daughters of God. We pass from death unto life. I'm not expecting to die. I pass from sin. I'm gone from sin. My sins are gone from me. And I'm dead to the world and dead to the flesh. And there is no more sin in my life or in my world. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody said, just bless God. You just wait till you sin. I'll tell you. How are you going to tell me? There ain't no sin there. How can I sin? He is born of God, cannot sin. You must be blind. You know, you're looking at lying vanities and running around like a dog after his tail. How can you stand and point your finger at Brother Taylor and say, ha, ha, ha. You know, if Brother Taylor is a son of God, there ain't no sin in Brother Taylor's life. There never has been any sin in Brother Taylor's life. Somebody said, well, bless God, what's all these things that we're doing when we get out here and do these wrongs? That's sin. That's what I say. You never did get the log off your shoulder. On the other hand, what about people, Brother Pike, that has come to be with us, and these people have been Christians for years, and then they left and they went back out there. Now, what are you going to do with that? Whatever the Bible says to do with it. You know, if you got garbage, you say throw it out. That's what you do with it. When you say that those people were Christian, that's garbage, so I just throw it out. You mean to tell me you don't believe them people were Christians? There was no way they could have been Christians. It's not possible for them to be Christians. As a matter of fact, the Bible uses the terms like this. If they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were never of us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, what it is, we teach heresy instead of the doctrines of Christ. And the church is in a conglomeration of a mess. Somebody say, well, bless God, bless God, bless God. You know, they get all stirred up. They come to me. I've had them come to me steaming. I had a woman, she come to me. She jumped up and down and she spoke in tongues. And she'd done all kind of motions and whatever, you know. And when she got through, I said, "Lady, did you know that's just exactly the same way I told you to start with? It ain't changed a bit through all of that." And she left. See, God's word doesn't change because somebody gets real weird like, or somebody pretends to be in the spirit and jumps up and down, you know, makes motions, tries to scare you to death, get you nervous. Folks, I've been through that for years. Well, what if it's God? There ain't going to be no God like that. There ain't no God like that. Never has been, never will be. That's like 7-Up, you know, they say. Never has been caffeine in it, is it? Never will be. There ain't never been no leavening in this book. There ain't never been nobody that ever jumped up into the Spirit and rebuked the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do. Did you know that the devil himself, when he quoted the Word of God to Jesus, that Jesus never denied one bit of it? Did you know that? He just said, "It's also written." So then the Holy Ghost doesn't do that. The Holy Ghost doesn't cause confusion. It doesn't cause somebody to go dancing across the way or running around the benches or turning flips or getting out of order or what, screaming out contrary to the preacher because he's preached something that they don't like. I preach women ought to wear long dresses. Women don't like it. Some of them would come out here and shout their shoe heels off to get me to shut up, but they ain't been able to do it. I had some half nudists to come out here and walk up here, drop their money in to come from a skating rink somewhere with a little skating skirt. And they thought because they were in the church, I wasn't going to hurt anybody's feelings. And when I got through, they found the exit. Which one would let a rattlesnake come, crawl up into the bed with the baby, and not do anything about it? Say, well, it's, you know. I'm saying this, folks. We that are Christians, we speak of God. If you jump up in the Holy Spirit and the minister is preaching the Word of God, you're going to be saying, "Amen, amen, hallelujah, yea and amen." If you speak in tongues, it's going to be right in harmony with the Word of God. When that preacher's up there preaching, the Bible said it's not him speaking, but God speaking from within him. Let all the world keep silent. See, there is no such thing as this crisscross, messed up, wishy-washy bunch of junk. Hallelujah. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Somebody said, "I'm afraid I'll blaspheme the Holy Ghost." How are you going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost when you're talking about a devil? Somebody said, "Well, I can't tell the difference." Well, you need to get born again. Folks, let me tell you, if you don't have enough discernment to know the difference between the devil and the Holy Ghost, you couldn't have anything. So I praise God for His wonderful Word. On the other hand, somebody said, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I know I'm going to blaspheme. I just know I'm going to blaspheme." How in the world are you going to do that? The Bible said, "He that's born of God cannot sin." To blaspheme, you'd have to sin. Oh, that devil went down the road then. Because he'd been working on some of you folks. You know, he went off down the road then. See, why do you get yourself in such a mixed up, messed up condition? It's because you don't follow the Word of God. You don't listen to the Word of God. You don't have any certain place. You're just from this place to that place and this church to that church and this people to that people. And you never have any system. You never have anything to line up with. And you say, "Bless God, bless God." And it's all a bunch of personality and foolishness. And you wind up in hell because you don't have any understanding. Did you know that in the early church there was one church? That was all there was. There was one foundation. That's all there was. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you get over to the holy city, you still find the same apostles at the foundation of the same city. You still find the same lively stones as to the first church, the 3,000. And you still find Israel as those gates of pearls that blends right in with the New Testament. And all of it is one thing. Paul described it as being the temples of God. He said, "Ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost." That is the lively stones. And as the writer said, as this agrees with the prophet said, "And I will return in the latter times or the last days, and I will build up the fallen down house of David," which of course was Solomon's temple. David gathered the material for it, which is the temple of New Jerusalem as to the allegoric type. So then we're lively stones. Paul's the wise master builder with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you're built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God. How are you going to preach the gospel if you don't know the revelation of Jesus Christ? The Bible says, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. You might be a believer, but you need God to grant unto you the spirit of revelation. How are you going to preach to the spiritual church unless you can unveil humanity? And unless you can have the revelated mind of God to preach to a spiritual people. This is an angelic thing. See, the Jews had a natural quote. They had those natural things, just like you've got the natural Bible. But God is not a printed page. God is a quickening spirit. So then, we need to unveil. We need to revelate. Paul was the overseer of the church because he was a revelator. He'd been caught up into the third heaven. He knew what to tutor. He knew the Word of God. He understood the things of God. But a lot of times we run as one that beat the air unless we get into Christ. You know, going about to establish our own righteousness the same way the Jews did, stumbling at the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus. And God said to Paul, Paul said, turn these people from their intellectual darkness to this wonderful God light. He said, turn them from darkness to light, Paul, and let them know that they are sanctified by the faith which is in me. And Paul said, the righteousness which is without the law. So then, what did Jesus do? He came to make an end of sin. An end of sin. Do you believe that? Raise your hand if you believe that. Okay, he came to make an end of sin. If he came to make an end of sin, beloved, why is it that you or I or anyone would take the audacity to go out there and try to preach to them people that they're still sinning and they need to repent of their sins when they're of the church of the living God? What do you do that for? Why is it you keep telling those people? You know, and you preach to them as a bunch of backsliders. Somebody says, now there you are. There's the answer to that thing about all them folks going away. They're backsliders. Well, then what is the answer to this? The Bible said, and I will heal your backsliding. And if Calvary didn't take care of it, where is it going to be taken care of? It's for sure there ain't nothing between Calvary and the time he translates us. So what's going to take care of it? You know, I've said this a lot of times. If I'm so ignorant as a preacher to feel like I can perfect you by stopping you from chewing the cud and doing the things that you do, if I'm so ignorant to believe that I can do that, when the blood of Jesus Christ didn't do it, I'm in bad shape, folks. If the blood of Jesus Christ didn't perfect you forever, if it didn't make you clean, if it didn't take away your sins, it's for sure that this preacher can't do it. You'll have to find you another church. The all-sufficient Word of God says that they overcame him by confessing Calvary, the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Now, that means that I am set here as the ministry, as well as the other ministers, for the perfecting of your faith. When he said, go on to perfection, what kind of perfection was he speaking of? He didn't mean throwing away the filth of the flesh. He meant faith. Go on to the perfecting of your faith. Why do you lay aside these different things? For the perfecting of your faith. Why do you quit chewing on the cud and all of these other things? Why do you fast and pray? To give strength to your faith. What do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean to get away from all of these things, to abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. You leave all these things to strengthen your faith and to receive more than a 30-fold, a 60-fold, or to go on to be perfect in God with that perfect faith. Enoch was translated by faith. God purifies your hearts by faith. You're sanctified by the faith which is in him. And the Bible said God has once and for all at Calvary. He had once and for all made a perfection of me. How did he do that? By making Jesus to be what he wanted me to be. And the Lord Jesus is God's workmanship. I am his workmanship in Christ. So God made a human body. God in it made it perfect, made it what he wanted to be, and said, Brother Pike, now you be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. All you've got to do is believe in what I've done. Come on, folks. Let's admit it. You Pentecostal, self-righteous, unbelieving folks, you need to get straightened out. Somebody said, Brother Pike. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But you Christian people that might be called Pentecostal or whatever, you need to give glory to God. You need to give glory to God. How can I glorify God? I say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I fasted 15 days, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I ain't seen none, I've kept myself. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord, I didn't sin. I didn't do no wrong myself, praise the Lord. And God says, away with, you know, just like He did the Jews. Thou more holy than I. I say, praise the Lord, glory to God, by the blood my sins are gone. Hallelujah. There ain't no sin in my world. There ain't no sin in my life. I've been born of God. And the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. How am I saved? By believing what he said. What did he say? He said, I could not sin because I was born of God. Come on, folks. He said, Nicodemus, lest you be born again, you're not even going to see the kingdom. Because it's a spiritual thing. It's a translating. You have to be translated into the thing. Enoch was translated by faith. You say, that's the Old Testament. But Paul brings it over to the New Testament when he talks about the translation of the church. So then what is it? He did that because there was no law. I brought it out the other night. Since there was no law, he could be translated by faith. How can I be translated by faith today? Because there's no law. It's been folded up and laid away. But from the time of the law, over until the time of the folding up and laying away of the law, you could not be justified by faith. There was no way you could come into it, only in the sense that you had to rest in your lot until we come along. Oh, somebody said, bless God. I know you're mixed up, Brother Pike. No, that's right. Right down the line to the T. Right down the line to the T. And the Bible said, and these without us could not be made perfect. That is to say, until we come on the scene, or that is Calvary came, and Jesus was crucified and died for the remission of sin, to take away sin, then they had to rest in their lot. Daniel and all the rest of them had to rest in their lot. That's why Jesus went down to the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison, or Christ. To preach to the souls in prison because they were imprisoned, because the day accepted had not yet been. Only in the foreknowledge of God had not yet been brought to light, which was brought to light at Calvary. And when Peter said, this is that the prophet Joel said would come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon the unjust. Let's say it like that. Or that is upon your sons and daughters. The time has come now that there is no more sin. Come on, folk. No more sin. You mean to tell me that man that's out yonder in the world is going to be sinning and God is going to let him sin and God looking at it? And that man bashes his little baby's brains out against the wall and God's going to say, mercy. Mercy. And let him do that when he's a wretch and him stand and look at it. No. What it is, God cannot look upon iniquity. And the blood of Jesus is between God and the people that are in the image of iniquity. The image he said, I will despise in the morning. That is when the blood is taken away and he looks at humanity to the point of destroying them. Right now, looking through the blood, he doesn't see anything except the love and kindness of his Son in whom he's well pleased. See, and so the world goes on. And they drink and they curse and they snort and they do their fill. Folks, look like that alone would make you to know who you are and where you are. If they can do them dirty, low-down things and their ball games and their filth and then their frolics and all these things, and God still allow them to do that, in that he cannot see sin in the life of humanity until the blood is taken away. That ought to make you know that you got something. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God did that to let them people practice their devilish wrong? No. No, he didn't do it like that. We brought it out on a tape, remember? Brought it out in a sermon. He did that because of your body. Your body has never yet been changed. And he would have destroyed your body. He could not have allowed your body to go on. So he had to give grace for your body. And that's how the devils and the demons climbed up into the upper lintel. The serpent climbed up into the upper lintel by grace. When that came on you, that body out there took full advantage. And the devil in that body took full advantage because he entered into the body so that he could control the world through humanity. And God can't do nothing to the devil because he is under the blood. That's why John saw him in heaven. But when the man-child goes up to the throne, That is the change of your body, the translation, as I brought it to you. Once it goes up, the devil will go out. And that means that them people will gnaw their tongue with pain. And their kingdom will be full of darkness. Them doctors and lawyers, they won't be able to find any way out. There'll be no healing medicines in that day. You understand what I'm saying? Even death won't relieve them. They'll seek death and death will flee from them. So I'm saying this, folks, that God has to do that out there to keep you alive. But just as quick as He gets your body changed, it is said that just as quick as Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained down the fire and brimstone. That's how much He thinks of them. Somebody said, well, God loves them folks. I beg your pardon. God hates their image. He despises their image. The Bible says that I'll despise your image in the morning. And we've got some revelation concerning Calvary on that very thing. God hates them. And I want to remind you again, God said, I will pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth. Said their offering is abomination in my sight. Their prayers is abomination in my sight. And He said, I will pursue them. And He said, ye that forget God, I'll tear you into pieces. Now I said this before, I want to say it again. All of those ministers that's running out there with this love, 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 this lovey-dovey thing are of the devil. Listen at me now. They are of the devil. They are appointed of the devil to have those denominational places out there so that they can keep the people calm and not let them get all out of sorts and lose their mind while God is carrying on the world and the industries and whatever as to your need to give this body time to change, even allowing you to have the medical benefits until you can get your faith developed. So He's allowing it to go on. See, He is allowing it. He is suffering it. Not because He wants that. He's angry with the wicked every day. He doesn't love them at all. He hates them. Do you mean to tell me that God loves somebody that bashes the baby's brains out? Loves somebody that's going to bum and tear up? He said, I'll destroy them that destroy the world. See, He said, well, what about our shortcomings, Brother Pike? If we can't sin, what is it? It's trespasses. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus didn't tell them nothing about sin. He said, pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For He said, if you forgive not men their trespasses even from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses. So if you got anything against a man, said woman, whenever you pray, said forgive that your heavenly Father might forgive. Now I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. I just want to clear up a little something. So then where is sin? Where these things are, beloved friend, the Bible said there's no more even a conscience of sin. I strive always, Paul said, to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. I don't even have a conscience of sin. The conscience of sin is gone. As to my inner man, and we won't go into that concerning the flesh and they that walk in the flesh, because you've got some teachings here on that, if you want to revert back to it, to explain why. But see, we are not in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, then the Bible says, you cannot sin. For the Bible teaches that if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. But if you're in the Spirit, the Bible teaches you can never come into condemnation. For there is now, therefore, no more condemnation to them that are in the Spirit. Not in the flesh, but who walk in the Spirit. They don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So then, having been born of the Spirit, then how could we do anything but walk in the Spirit? Having the mind of Christ, even though we're like babes, and Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Even though we're like little tiny babes, as to the Christ on the inside. You know, we have to keep putting the outer man down, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man's renewed day by day. To bring this little Christ into the fullness of what God wants him to be. See, and when he comes forth, it'll be as to the birth, as to the opening of the matric, and all of a sudden, as he breaks forth in his fullness, as to perfection, this outer body will change and up you'll go as the spiritual man. And this body here will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. From mortality to immortality, from the terrestrial to the celestial, we'll be caught up to meet Christ in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these thoughts, the Bible says. So then, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying that he came to make an end of sin. Now, listen at me real close before we close. If he came to make an end of sin, then that is the end of sin. I say, Brother Taylor, I want you to go across the hill over there. There's a little old shack I want you to make an end of that thing. Brother Taylor, he goes over there, he sets the little shack on fire, turns it into ashes. And what did he do? He made an end of it. Or he pushed it off, or hauled it off, or dumped it off, or done something. He made an end of it, didn't he? And then Brother Taylor comes and he says, "Now, Brother Pike, I made an end of that thing." He said, "Every time you go by there, you turn your head and you won't see it. But be careful, Brother Pike. You happen to look in the wrong direction." And I go by, you know, I say, "You know how it is, you know, says paint, don't touch it." And that's the way we are. Folks, can we be so childish as to feel like that and stand in jeopardy all the time and tore up and having the devil to tear us up all the time, when we could walk up as bold as a lion and have faith that we would say, knock a wall down like Jesus walked through it, nothing bothering us, no condemnation, knowing that we're free from sin and there ain't nothing out there, and pray for somebody and God do something miraculous. And we're going to mess around with this little old has-been and half-hearted, mixed up, messy sort of a thing. Somebody says, "Well, Brother Pike, when I get free, man, I finally get them things out of my mind, and I know I'm prayed up, and I know I'm fasted up, and I know I'm done got free from that wrong I done out here, that sin, you know. And I can do it." Well, how much more could you do it if you never did have that sin out there to begin with? If you feel all bright and brilliant and strong and powerful, just in them little spurts, as we say, what would you feel like if you really got out there in the water and suddenly you think, "My God, what a fool I've been. What a fool I've been not to believe the Word of God. How am I saved? By faith in all these things that we're talking about this morning. To believe that sin is gone. To believe that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. To believe those things I mentioned to you. To believe them is faith by the hearing of the Word of God. And that's what brings salvation. Believing in His finished work. Believing in what He done. Believing He was my atonement, my deliverance, my justification. Believing that He overcome the world for me. Believing that all is well because of Him." So then I say this one more time, folks. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And what you believe ain't worth the time you take to believe it. What you say about it, you can believe, shout, dance, speak in tongues, anything you want to, but you'll never be saved by that. You remember the little cross-up I had with a man one time? Talking about salvation. Talking about having the Holy Ghost, which I believe you have to have. You remember the cross-up I had with him? We had a little difference. Had a little difference about salvation. I said, "Sir, salvation comes by faith." And he began to tell me that you had to have the Holy Ghost, which I believe. I preach. I said, "But sir, I said, you told me that you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. That's the initial evidence." I said, "Isn't that right?" He said, "That's right." I said, "And if you don't speak in tongues, you haven't got the Holy Ghost." He said, "That's right." I said, "And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have God." He said, "That's right." I said, "That means you're preaching salvation by tongues. If people speak in tongues, that takes care of it." And that's what's happened to Pentecost. I've seen numbers of people. I've seen them speak in tongues, get under the rain, as we say, go straight out and light up the cigarette. I've seen them. See, speaking in tongues don't prove nothing. Nothing. It is true that the Holy Ghost, there's the Holy Ghost that you speak in tongues. And the communication is with God. And the Bible said, "Forbid not to speak with tongues." And Paul said, "I speak with tongues more than you all." And it is the Holy Ghost. But there is a devil that speaks in tongues. All kind of tongues. If you never run into it, someday you will. So, what are you saying? I told the man, I said, "Sir, I preach salvation by faith. The Bible said, faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Somebody said, "But I got the answer to that, Brother Pike." I know, we split it up 1, 2, 3. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, "See, Brother Pike, what it is. You're saved. See, you don't have to speak in tongues. You're saved. You're saved by faith." Come on, folks. But you just ain't received the Holy Ghost. But when He comes, you'll speak in tongues. So you're twice saved. Come on, folks. I said, "You're twice saved." Somebody said, "Well, no. You've been ignorant, Brother Pike. No, I'm not being ignorant. You've been ignorant. Paul said, I will not have you ignorant. He said, well, what do you mean? I mean, what good is it for God to give me the Holy Ghost if I'm already saved? What do I need the Holy Ghost for if I'm already saved? Come on, folks. If God can do this thing without the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. And the Bible said, when He, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost comes, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He'll testify of me because He'll come in my name because He's the Spirit of Christ, of Jesus. Now, if I don't need the Spirit of Christ and God can do it without that, then we're right back to where Paul and Peter had the dispute. Come on. Isn't that right? Wasn't that what Paul disputed with Peter over? Paul said, Peter said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. Now, you people that's teaching all that kind of thing, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. Said, if salvation came by the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain. Because we already had the law. Now, and I'm saying this, if salvation comes by you having some kind of experience in believing, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. If it does, we don't need the Holy Ghost because people believe before there's ever any Holy Ghost manifested at Calvary as to a gift. People always believe. Moses believed. All of them believe. The Bible said the devil believes. If you believe, that's wonderful to be a believer. But do you know that the devil believes and trembles when he thinks about it? You understand what I'm saying? And that you're believing, your faith without works is dead? Somebody said, now there you are. That's where you stop chewing the cud. No, I'm talking about the works of Jesus Christ. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God. I'm the works of God. It's finished before the world ever was. See, and the Bible said, faith without works. Therefore, you're saved by faith without works. That means without your works. So then, when the other writer spoke of faith and works, he was speaking of your faith being inactive and not alive unless you do something to inspire it or to revive it. For the writer said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. See, your works is just good for you to believe in what works brought you salvation. That's all it is. You just do that to get your believing turned toward Him. That's what the preacher's for. Faith comes by the hearing of the word. I tell you about Calvary. You hear it and you believe in it, you're saved. See, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Satan tries to complicate things and make it a weird sort of a thing. Take it out of the simplicity of God. So I say this. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have the Holy Ghost. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The upper coast of Ephesus, of the 19th chapter of Acts. They said, well, we've not even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost tonight. He said, unto them, what was you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. He said, John baptized with water unto repentance, saying, believe on the name, it's coming. Or that is, believe on Him. And Paul rebaptized them in the name of Jesus because remission of sin is in His name. And when they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus, it indicated they'd been buried in the grave of Jesus, dead to the world but the body of Jesus, and now they'd become the image of the Lord Jesus. Not them living, but Christ has to be resurrected from the dead. So I said all of that just to get around to this. And I am going to let you go if you just be patient with me a few minutes. This goes on tape and it goes on radio in different places. And that's why I tarry a few minutes to try to clear it up. So you can always come to me. I can answer the question for you. You can get the tape. Somebody else doesn't do that. All right, so then what am I saying? I'm saying that sin is gone. It is gone. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, now let me read it to you from the book of John. This is one of their favorite comebacks. Read it to you in the book of John. What does it say? It says here, right in the book of John, if you say you have no sin, there you are. And it makes you a liar. Well, how is it the same man that said that, if you'll read on over in the book of John, same book, same man, just a little verse or two of them. It says, he that is born of God cannot sin. How do you fit them together? You know how I fit them together? No man can come to God and say that he is not in sin. For that the Bible said, he that is fallen from grace is under the law, and transgression of the law is sin, and the sting of sin is death. How did I get past death? Well, you got it on tape. We preached it. Now, I'm just saying this, how we're going to be translated to come to understand this. We've got to get past the Jordan. You don't get into Canaan until you go over Jordan. And it's got to be something done about your intellectual reason. So then, what are you saying? Everybody isn't going to get this. Only the elect's going to get it. So then, what am I trying to get over to you? Your sins are gone. John said, you cannot sin when you're born of God. He's simply saying to the others, there's no need to come around and say that you haven't sinned. You know, you're just going to kind of moralize yourself right on into heaven. You're a nice fella and you got a good thing going, you know, and you're not like the rest of them. I've met a lot of moral folks like that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As to God charging sin against the world. But everyone that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ was the predestinated of the foreordained. And when Paul preached, he said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believed. Those were kept from sin. And they were kept from evil. And God only counted their stumblings and staggers as trespasses. And applied the blood before the world ever was as to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, predestinated him unto eternal life, chose us in Christ before the world ever was, and manifested at Calvary to rend the veil, bring it out of the book, open the book to let us see. That's what Revelation is all about, the opening of the book. So that means that we are free from sin because in Christ there is no sin. He never sinned one time. They found no fault in that just man. And today it's not me living but him. He was made my sin and took my punishment and was buried in my grave. That I might take his life and take his blessing and take his eternal spotlessness. His salvation as a lamb without spot, as a bride without blemish, to eternally belong to him. And that he might tabernacle in me, that God Almighty, through the shed blood of that lovely lamb, might tabernacle in me and never find any fault in me. So ye that are the just men, I find no fault in you. The Bible said we are they that have come, that is of just men, that have come to this mount of the living God, wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. Therefore, being justified by faith, being just men, we have peace with God. Not saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said God hath perfected forever, made perfect forever, them that are sanctified. And the Bible said he has sanctified them, not saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But he has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctified by the faith that is within me and made perfect forever. And the Bible said he justified them and he hath glorified them. So there won't be any spots. The glorification's already took place. He's already glorified us. So in coming to a close, I want you to think this over. We are comprehending, and the translation is a comprehension. And they that do not comprehend will not be translated. I don't care if you shout your shoe heels off and your hair down, holler hallelujah and speak in tongues all night long. I don't care if you're a laity, if you're a preacher, whoever you might be, if you don't comprehend that you are not translated, you don't go in the rapture. You comprehend. You say, well, what about them little children? Them little children are those, the Bible said, have never entered into this world anyway. The Bible said, and their spirit doth always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. They've never come into the age of accountability. It's not even charged to them. If they leave the scene, they don't have to be baptized. They don't have to do nothing. They go to heaven. All that thing about Catholics sprinkling them, all this kind of thing, is a bunch of foolishness. I do believe in dedicating the children. We dedicate them to let God know that we want them, like little Samuel was dedicated. But anyway, see, we bring these things out on tape about the children and all these other things. You've got it on tape. You got it in the sermon. But I'm saying this, that you must comprehend. And if you are spiritual children that cannot comprehend, then you are under tutorous until the time of the appointed time of the Father as to the bar mitzvah and the parents lay up for those children. And they take care of the children. And if you are children, then you will go. Oh, when the man went to worship God, he said, take your children too. Pharaoh said, leave them down here. He said, no, we'll take the wife and the children. So your family will go with you. Paul said, I've begotten you as children in Christ. So then those people out yonder are sinning, folks. And they're under the law. And the transgression brings penalty of death. But you are not sinning, and you are not under the law, and there is no sin in your world because you're in heaven. Can you be in heaven, Brother Pye? And it was said of Nicodemus. Nicodemus said he didn't understand. And Jesus said, you don't understand. Being a leader, you don't understand. He said, no man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man, the one that was standing there that had come down from heaven. He said, and who is in heaven? If Jesus could look at Nicodemus and see he was in heaven, then why can't I see that I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and God has chosen me out of the world and hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received? And why can't I accept the fact that he said, rejoice, ye that are in heaven, and that ye are not in the flesh? I've chosen you out of the world. I put you in heaven. Why can't I accept that? That's the Bible. Faith in that is what makes me do that. And doing that is what takes me out of the rot of the world, so that I am saved from it by translation of faith, even as it was with Enoch. Faith by the hearing of the word, translated that he should not see death. All this thing about somebody standing around, hundreds and millions of people standing around, here comes Jesus, and shoo, away you go. You better forget about it. You'd better forget about it, because right now he's stealing the bride of Christ. He's taking her out. He's moving into your heart. He's appearing unto you in your heart. He's translating you in the inner man into the kingdom of God. Been doing it since Calvary. And when that Thessalonian change comes, he's coming to the Jews to redeem that body. And those that are dead in the grave is going to get up. And you that are alive and remain are going to be changed just like that. See, so if you're going to get your diplomacy, you better get your school program straightened out. Stop being dropouts and running around just doing any old thing and get in here from glory to glory and get that thing straightened out where you can meet him at that change. Everyone that has opportunity brings willful negligence. If they don't conform, and if they do, they'll be lost. Only those that are ignorant to the extent that they did not really know. And as to whatever measure, then that's the way he'll receive them. As to their submission, according to what they know, and to whom much is given, much shall be required of them. And to him that the Bible said that as little has been given to, he'll require little of. But I'll require the more to him to whom I've committed much. So, brethren, God has it all figured out. He's got it all right. There's no jumble up things. There's no misunderstanding. I appreciate the fact you're staying a little longer this morning. I knew that you'd have to if I talked to you. That's why I asked you the first of the service if you had a few minutes to give to God. You know, like the man that gave God a little time and God gave him 15 years. Just a little time. See, just give a little time to God. A lot of people are in the grave because they didn't have 15 minutes to give because they had an appointment. They had to get to the table. You know, David said, let their table be made a snare unto them. All their labors for their belly, the belly craves it of them. God put the serpent on his belly. Said in the last days you'd be able to recognize him. He'd be eating and drinking, eating and a drinking. The old serpent crawling everywhere, eating and a drinking. So then, because we are children of God, our sins are gone. Our sins are gone. They're not gone. Let me conclude by saying this. They're not gone until you feel under condemnation or some thoughts come sweeping over your mind. You know, and you got to go back and get reborn again. And you got to go back and you got to get re-righteous again. And you got to go back and you got to get free of sin again. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. That's okay for you and your preaching, your program. I'm not talking about this preacher and his program is that Jesus came to make an end of sin. And all of my children are free from sin because of my Savior. And we've got something to shout about. You know, some people say, well, I want to praise the Lord. I don't see how you can. You know, you say, praise the Lord, I've fasted 30 days. Praise the Lord, I barely made it. Praise the Lord. See, what you got to praise the Lord about, you're doing it all. And you ain't just barely making it then. See, but I can praise the Lord because I can say, praise God, my sins are gone. Jesus came and took my sins away. And Jesus made me free from sin. And I am now his predestinated in God. I've been born again and can't be unborn. Come on, folks. I said, I'm born again and can't be unborn. Somebody said, but bless God, you can die. How can you die with eternal life? Somebody say, praise the Lord. I said, well, you can die out to this. I'd love to know how you do that. Maybe you can explain that to me sometime. I thank God that in this life there's death, but beloved friend, in that life there's no death. What you need to do is stop your foolishness as the church and little children, knowing that we have been children, and it's high time that we awoke to see his glory. and get out of the sleep and the slumber and be about our Father's business and go out here and evangelize the world and quit running from the devil, afraid that he's going to jump on you. That's why you brethren caught them lions by the tail. I just heard God say that. He said, son, that's why your people caught the lion by the tail. You've told them the truth and they're not running from the devil. They know he doesn't have any power over them. Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. They know what they're doing, so they're not running around here thinking they're going to sin today and tomorrow. Some of them done got into this thing, and when that lion comes, they just reach up like Samson, you know, and that's it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I heard him say that. Let's give the Lord a hand. That proves he's on our side, doesn't it? David said, I know the Lord favors me because my enemies don't triumph over it. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the real true church world finds out that the devil's been pulling a little prank on them and they feel free from sin? They're liable to shoot up like a rocket. Somebody say praise the Lord. Makes you feel like doing it, don't it? Bound to happen sometime. That last one come in. We're going to have a time, folks. I want you to stand with me. I love you, appreciate you. I thank God for you, and I sure am happy that you're helping me with the lions. There was a lot of them fellas. Let's sing a little chorus together. I want to say I'm grateful for you being here and being patient with me. To hear my little say, and I hope you'll be stronger. I hope your faith will be stronger now by the Word of God as you take your strength in God, knowing that you're His. And that you are eternally His. You know, I never will forget the Lord spoke to me. I related this to some of the fellas. He spoke to me one day, and I was old. You know how you are in the Pentecostal world. Some of the sweetest, most lovable people in the world. Just some of them babies and sons of God. They'll come on out. You know, and the rest of them will go ball game and frolic and everything else. But anyway, you know, Pentecost, the word Pentecost just means it has to do with the Jubilee of the 50th year. And we get it so sacred, you know, we're afraid to even preach against anything at Pentecost. But it's nothing but a Jewish holiday that they had. And it's where that they forgive the debts, the indebtedness of the people. And God gave it as a type, an allegoric type, so that when the church got forgiveness of sins there, that he would call it Pentecost. He'd have them all gathered in there, all the Jews, to bring that day of forgiveness of their debts. Brethren, how many of you believe that when they had Pentecost, when they had the feast of Pentecost as to the Jewish festival, how many of you believe that those people that genuinely from their heart forgave men their indebtedness, how many of you believe that after the feast they went back and pointed their finger and said, beware, I forgive you, but I'm liable to call it back on you any day? How many of you believe that? Now, see, that's what it was for, to get the burden off of people. Indebtedness kills people. The thoughts of indebtedness. You know right now your biggest problem is a weight from indebtedness. And you can't stay out of it. The devilish thing, the devil's got the world and he's got everything balled up like a kitty with a ball of yarn. And he gets you into a fix. You buy a car, it's $500. And when the banker gets through and the insurance man gets through and everybody gets in, it's $5,000. You know, and it's just going up, and the light bill goes up and everything goes up. And like it was over in Israel when our guy David stood there and the tears down his cheeks saying, Brother Pike, we can't stand it much longer. Said indebtedness is killing. Saying the Lord forgave. Folks, why do you want to go around saying the burden of the Lord? The Bible said in that day they won't say the burden of the Lord. Somebody said, I'm under the burden of the Lord. Well, you need to get out from under it. He took it at Calvary. That was his burden, the burden of the Lord. So the Lord took it. What you need to do is get lined up. The Bible said serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness and the Holy Ghost. Not eating and drinking and trying to stay away from certain kind of meats and whatever. All things are sanctified by prayer. Them fellows over yonder eat dog. As far as I'm concerned, you know, they're enjoying it. So let them enjoy it. You know, if I get a chance over there to explain, I might can explain to them and I might not. Some of them just pass the dog, you know. If they don't like you, well, they just eat you. The little pygmies put you in the pot, and as far as they're concerned, that's fine for them. You know, if that's what they want to do, I don't want to take part in that. I'd love to go preach to them. As a brother that come over from somewhere back in there not too long ago and told me, said, Brother Pike, I'd like for you to come over. Said, there's a pygmy tribe. Said, we go down and preach to him. Said, I tell you, before they go, they don't dress. They don't have any clothes. Said, they all are nude people. The I said, we go preach to them, you know. And the little fellas, you don't want to get them upset. You ever seen that film where they catch a lion by the tail? I've seen it where they catch a lion by the tail and they kill him. But anyway, I'm just saying this. Our debts are gone. Our burdens are gone. They're lifted. That's why we rejoice. That's why we sing. Folks, how can you shout and sing if your joy isn't there? Serving God's not in meats and drinks, but in joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. He is our righteousness. He that knew no sin was made sin, that I might be made his righteousness. Joy and peace in his righteousness, to be of good cheer, because he's overcome the world for me. For me, he overcome the world. So I say, devil, there ain't no need to come around here. He's done took care of you at Calvary. Can you say amen? Amen. Get behind me, Satan, back there at Calvary. Don't be getting out there in front of me. And thou art a fence unto me, he said. So, this is why I'm glad. Satan didn't want him to do that. Peter said, nay, it wasn't Peter, it was the devil. Hey, don't take them sins away from George Pike and Frank Taylor. Don't do that. Jesus said, devil, get thee behind me. Thou art an offense unto me. Get thee hence, Satan. So, for this cause came we into the world to bear witness. You say, Brother Pike, don't you get tired, weary? Don't you have a burden? Don't these things come upon you? The devil fights us everywhere. Come against you one way, flee before you seven ways. Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Cancer, sickness, trouble, heartaches, woe, family problems, children, wife, automobiles, whatever. Mental anguish, nerve trouble. Come on, folks. He said, I give you power. He said, well, where did he give it to me, Brother Pike? The Bible said, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then you shall receive power. The original rendering is, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power, because he is power. He is power. We're little children. We grow in the grace and knowledge. He leads us to all truth and righteousness. But that's all right. The bar mitzvah's coming. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. Don't you love the Lord? So we've got battles. We fight battles because we're soldiers. Because we're waiting for the change of the body. But don't let the devil reign in your mortal bodies to rule over you, Paul said. Don't walk in the flesh. Abstain from the fleshly lust that warreth against your inner man as to the soul. Put him down. Let him perish. Renew the inner man day by day. See, because that man profiteth nothing. He's dead. He's buried. He's gone. And you're dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus. And no matter how much the world accuses you, it has nothing to do with you. Your body is spotless in the sight of God. Because he sees your body, he sees past your body and sees you as the body of the Lord Jesus as to that change over here in the resurrection. You're just going through the dying process, that's all. So it means that you are free from sin. Free from sin. Your sins are gone. You're free from sin because you've been born again. You're a newborn babe that can never sin again. You're the little Christ, till Christ be formed within you, or travail till he be formed within you. So it's the little Christ. Love him, cuddle him, take care of him, keep the devil out of your life. Don't know another man after the flesh. You say, well, Brother Pike, you're still there. I see you. The Bible said, he that observes lying vanities forsaketh his own mercy. You're looking at lying vanities. That died at Calvary, was buried. Not me living, but Christ. If you can't see Christ, then you're blind. That's why you folks have problems. You see one another. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you gossip, you backbite, you find fault. How is it that you do that? In that you do it to the least of these, you do it to Christ. Would you do that if you knew you was doing it to Christ? That's why the Lord said, forgive them. They know not what they do. So then, folks, don't know a man or woman after this flesh. If they are a devil, then let them be a devil. I don't care how sweet they look and lipsticked up they look to be. I don't care how pretty they look with their pattern paint. They're devils. I don't care how much money and education they got. They're devils. But them that love God, don't you backbite and tear them down. They may stumble and they may stagger. They may have trespasses, but they're holy God children. They're pure. They're without spot, without wrinkle, blemish. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Where's your backslider? He healed him at Calvary. Took away your backsliding. So you can't backslide no more. No more. Sometimes I use the term backsliding because we find that it's hard to find vocabulary expressions unless we use human utterance. You know, as that pertaining to the Spirit. So we use natural things. But in all reality, there's no sin to the child of God. He's precious. Know Him after the Spirit. He might be a little babe. He might stumble. Little babies stumble. You have to take their hand. You have to help them. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Love them. Don't beat them down. Don't come up there as some old bellowing bull and beat them to death. Should we preach against sin? Absolutely. 100%. God did not send His Son in the flesh to condemn people. See, we were condemned already because of Adam's sins. But He sent Him in the flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, that He might redeem us by condemning sin in the flesh at Calvary. So let's rejoice. Why shouldn't we rejoice? You don't have any problems, folks. Come on, you don't have any problem. Somebody says, bless God, I do. I got a pain. Well, you know, go over to Mommy and Daddy. He'll bind it up. He'll pour some stuff on it. He'll put a bandage on. You know, Junior, Sissy, whoever, and grown-ups have pains and have problems. But we've learned a secret. Christ is mine. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. One of these days, the bandages and the healing medicine is going to be gone. We better get on out there and learn these things and learn the devil don't have any power over us. Start moving in. So he moving in to take our blessings in the promised land, to possess this land that God has given us. We better forget about the giants. Quit testifying to them. Quit thinking about those. Press our way into the kingdom of God against this old flesh and the contrariness of evil spirits. And be out there about our Father's business. And quit letting the devil harass us. All right, let's sing together. Do you feel like rejoicing? Why not? Somebody said, well, I feel good, Brother Pine, but I feel something present. I know all this is good. I know you said it, but bless God, it ain't gone because I feel it there. It's true. I acknowledge that. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present. I find the law is that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But then I bring it out on tape as to the flesh, the warfare continuum. I bring it out in the messages. You got it. It's this true fact. It's there. So you feel it's there. Like it's interwoven with your taste buds and you can't get rid of it. See, but that's your flesh waiting for the change. But you've got to remember that all of that is dead in the sight of God. Every thought you think is dead in the sight of God. Lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Casting down imagination and every thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Don't lean to your own reason. Every natural thought is dead in the sight of God. Every natural thought. Your mind is dead. Your flesh is dead. Your body is dead. You're not in the flesh. If you're not in the flesh, you can't think the thoughts of the flesh. You say, well, who is that? Paul said, it's not me that doeth it. For I delight in the laws of God after the enemy. He said, that's another law warning my members against the law of my mind, which is faith in Christ that's made me free from the law of sin and death, which is the law of commandments. Sin taken occasion by the law slew me. So that which was righteous became death to me. You follow me? So then that means that this outer man, you don't have to worry about those accusing thoughts. You don't have to worry about those stumblings and staggerings. When you are born again, you're going to do your best. And if you stumble and stagger as a little fellow coming up, then let's take the hands of the little lamb and feed the little lambs. Jesus loves them. That's His babies. Just like you love your babies. You understand what I'm saying? You love your babies? God will get you about His babies. He'll get you. So let's love them little babies. Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Them little fellas don't understand. They don't know like you and I. And when we find the wolf out there praying over them, that big brute standing out there like Brother Branham said, beating on that little kid, beating on him, let's get up there and rebuke that devil and get him out of the way. Bring glad tidings of great joy. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that bring you your liberty in Christ and tell you the wonderful kingdom of God. I preach against sin, folks. You know how hard I preach against it. Some people say real hard. But anyway, there's also that lovely side of your salvation, which is Christ. So we have something to praise Him about because we don't have any sin. It's all gone. We're happy and we're praising Him and we love Him. And we're singing praises to His name because He came and made an end of sin and fulfilled the Scripture. Let's sing this together.
There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, sing it. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's good enough for me. Praise God, the flesh is gone. Set there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me. Praise God, death is gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me. Praise God, sickness is gone. It's underneath the blood. By stripes you're healed. Cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Let's give him a hand. Can you say praise the Lord? Do you really believe your sins are gone, folks? Don't go around and feel heavy. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why should it be afraid? Why should it be heavy? Rejoice forevermore, he said. Start rejoicing now and don't ever quit. Hallelujah, for serving God is joy. Have you got joy? When you realize that old flesh is gone and it's dead, and all of its accusations and all of the things that it says doesn't have anything to do with your fellowship and relationship with God, you and the preacher will get along better. I said, you and the preacher will get along better. You won't run off and hide for about 10 days thinking that the preacher is going to discern out your sin. Come on, folks. And you're going to feel at distance and at odds with him. You know, and you're over here in your spirit thinking the preacher, he's just wanting to slay me, the old devil, the old devil. When he's praying, oh God, help the poor boy, help the poor boy. You know, when it's all in your mind, let's give the Lord another hand. You'll get together, the preacher will get with you, y'all have a good time, you get along with the preacher's wife, and the preacher's children, and the deacon's children. Somebody say hallelujah. We'll have some camp meetings like we did years ago, even when they had to have them on the brush arbor. Can you say praise the Lord? Glory to God. It's wonderful, folks. Let's sing that song again, The Stone Is Rolled Away. It is wonderful because it really is rolled away. Take out the heart of stone, place within you a heart of flesh. Write my laws upon the table of your heart. I believe the stone's rolled away, don't you? That old stony heart, it's rolled away. Moses come bringing it down from the mountain, broke it all to pieces. And Brother Joshua just passed right through that door as we say open at Calvary Christ, right on into Canaan. Right on into Canaan with that heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Did you know the Moses followers always transgress? Always. But did you know Joshua's followers just went right on in? Went right on in. You love the Lord? Took the children, didn't he? Let's get rid of all the mumbling, grumbling elders of religious convictions. I'm talking about heresy. Get with the real, true parents of God that love the Lord. And let's get together and let's go on into Canaan. Can we do that, folks? Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. Oh, he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. Can you sing that with me again? Oh, he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone, and delivered.